Anybody want to guess what passage we're going to be in today? This is a real question, so somebody's got to shout it out. Where are we today in Scripture? I heard Matthew 17. Anybody know what verse we're going to start at today? Just making sure y'all pay attention on Sunday mornings. Last week we ended with verse 20 and 21, if you have that in your Bible. So that gives you a little bit of hint where we're going to start. Matthew 17, chapter 17, verse 22 and 23 is where we're going to be today. So go ahead and find that. But as you find that, I want you, once you find that, put your finger there. I'm losing, my stuff's flying all over the place here in the wind. Go to Colossians chapter 3. We're going to spend the majority of the time today in Colossians chapter 3. So find that. We're going to be the first four verses of Colossians chapter 3. So once you have found those passages, would you just look back here and give me your attention? I don't want to start before you get going. I know that's a lot of instruction starting off there after a time of worship. Matthew chapter 17 and Colossians chapter 3. The title of the sermon today, I see most of you looking back. The title of the sermon today is The Reminder. The Reminder. So if you're a note taker, in the back of the bulletin, there's a place where you can take notes if you like to do that. God lays something on your heart or God speaks something to you, I would encourage you to write that down, put it in your Bible, and go back and meditate on it this week. But the last 2 weeks, if you have been here or you haven't been here, we've seen Jesus, that he took his disciples up on this mountain. And Peter, James, and John, they got to see the glory of God in many forms. They got to see some people come back from heaven. They got to see Jesus' face shine like the sun. And then when they came down, they found the rest of the disciples arguing with these religious teachers of the original religious law over their failed attempt to deliver this demon-possessed boy. And if you recall, we've been talking about how God displays his glory to us and reminds us of who he really is. Kind of like the wind that's blowing around right now. That's the Holy Spirit. That's right. There you are, God. But he revealed his glory in many ways. Maybe it's miracles in our life that we experience that we can't explain. Like, all I can tell you is God must have done that. Maybe it's some kind of healing that we know that the doctor said that we had this and there was no chance, but God healed us. Maybe there was a divine appointment, like I talked about last week, that I had with one of my coworkers and a guy on the side of the road. Maybe he speaks to our hearts silently, and we just feel God laying something on our heart. Has anybody ever experienced that, where you know that God spoke to you? I guess I'm the only one. Okay. We experience his presence, maybe in a time of praise and worship. We see his creation all around us. We talked about the wind. I was laying on, we have one of those trampolines in our backyard that I had to set up on a long time ago after Santa Claus brought it. And me and Lily were laying out there the other night. I was busy. I was doing some stuff in the garage and I didn't even want to go out there. She said, "Dad, please come out. Let's just look at the stars." And so I reluctantly went out and I laid there and I laid in the back on our backs and we were looking up at the stars. And I just told her, I said, Psalm 19:1 tells us that the heavens declare the glory of God. And that scripture just came to my heart, and I was taking that moment just to teach her about it. And I said, you know, the sky displays his craftsmanship. And you know what she said? She said, "It's all over the place, Dad, if we would just look." That's a seven-year-old. That's the theology of a seven-year-old. You know, I was like, man, it's so often we don't look at God's glory. We don't take the time to really see God's glory all around us. But his glory, when we do focus on it, when we do experience it, when we do see God's glory, it gives us strength. And that strength is for us to go out into the world and be that light and to go out and to witness him. God gives us that strength to remind us, see, I am really real. I am here. I did create all this. I do have a purpose for you. I do love you. And God knows that we are weak. He knows that we need that reminder over and over and over. He knows that we need his glory and his strength to give us power to carry out the work that he has for us to do. We talked about that the last 2 weeks. But all too often, as we saw last week, we walk through this world on our own strength, wondering why we continuously fail. When all we need to do is get alone with God, seek his glory, experience his presence, and go do what he calls us to do. So today, we're going to read these two verses from Matthew 17, and we're going to see Jesus reminding his disciples yet again of what is coming. He wanted to make sure they understood. When we get to Jerusalem, there's a time coming where I'm going to be betrayed, and I'm going to be handed over, and I'm going to be crucified, and I'm also going to be raised back to life on the third day. He was reminding them again. He was predicting his death and his resurrection. But God has laid it upon my heart this week as I was studying this so bad, I wanted to just read these two verses. And I wanted to go on to the next passage and just read that and say, we're not going to focus on those two verses. We're going to go to the next. Not because I didn't want to preach them, just because I was like, well, we've already kind of talked about that. And we've seen Jesus do it again. But God laid on my heart that we need to be reminded again and again, just like the disciples. So we're going to focus on what God's word says to you and me. We're going to read what God's word and what Jesus said to the disciples before he was crucified and before he was resurrected from the dead. But we're also really going to focus on what God's word says to you and me about after Jesus's death and resurrection. Does that make sense this morning? So let's read Matthew 17, verse 22 and 23. Once I find it. Matthew 17, where are we at here? There we go. It says, Jesus again predicts his death. And it says this, after they gathered again in Galilee, Jesus told them, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of his enemies. He will be killed, but on the third day, he will be raised from the dead. And the disciples were filled with grief. All right, so we're not going to stop there. We're going to talk briefly about it. Here we see Jesus again. He's reminding his disciples that he will be betrayed, that he will be killed, and that he is going to be resurrected from the dead. You see, Jesus knew that the disciples were just like me and you. We're weak. We so often forget. When God does something miraculous in our life, when God lays something on our heart, we're so often we get tangled back up in the world, we get tangled back up in ourselves, and we forget about those things that God told us. We forget about the promises that we read when life gets tough. That's what the disciples did. They were filled with grief after he had already told them before. Remember Satan? Remember Jesus told Peter, he said, Satan, get behind me. When he said, no, Lord, don't say things like that. You're not going to be killed, and don't say that. So they've already heard Jesus talk about it. They need to be reminded. Jesus knew they needed to hear the truth over and over and over and over because of their weakness. They were so caught up in this life. They were so wrapped up in their what's going on in their life or what could help them that they couldn't understand what Jesus was trying to get them to understand. The Messiah, the one that they had waited for to deliver them since they had always heard about it. They had read the Old Testament prophets and all the things that they had said were going to happen, that the Messiah was going to come and deliver them. How would it make sense that he's here, but he was going to be betrayed? And then he was going to be killed. And what does it mean when he says, I'm going to be raised from the dead? What is he talking about? Because they were focused on this world. And they were focused on their life. They were focused on their circumstances that they wanted Jesus to set them free from. But Jesus was preparing them to think about eternity. He was preparing them to think about the kingdom of God. He was preparing them to think about the overall plan of God. Right? What does God call the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end? He was trying to broaden their simple minds and say, listen, it's not about Rome having control over you and you being delivered. It's about being delivered for all eternity. Amen? Well, the Lord's pressed upon my heart today that we're not just going to stop there. We're not just going to talk about Matthew 17 today. I know that's a shocker. But for us to be reminded here today that Jesus, what he predicted right here that we just read, what he predicted did happen. It's already taken place. So I know that may seem kind of elementary in our doctrine or whatever, but I feel like somebody needs to hear that this morning. So many times we live like it hasn't taken place yet. And we walk around confused like we have no power. It's already taken place. What Jesus predicted already has happened. And it yields a great and eternal reward for those who will give their life to Christ. And there's plenty of scripture over and over and over that points to this truth. But God has laid Colossians 3, 1 through 4 on my heart for today. So let's read that. If you've got your finger marked there, go back, or if you've got something marking it. When you find Colossians 3, would you just shout out amen so I know you're there with me this morning? All right, I just want to make sure we hear the word from God's word. It says this, since you have been raised to new life with Christ. Remember, the resurrection has already happened when this was written. Since you have been raised to life with Christ, set your sights on the reality of heaven. It's real. It's not a distant place. It's not something we read about in children's church and just makes us feel good. It says, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Verse 2 goes on to say, think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all of his glory. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you this morning. Again, we acknowledge that you are the source of our strength and our power. Lord, it's only because of your grace that I can stand here, and your mercy and your forgiveness and the salvation that I accepted, the free gift that I can stand here and preach your word and your presence and the presence of your church. Lord, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. What a privilege to be here this morning. What a privilege to hear the truth. What a privilege to be able to speak the truth this morning. We thank you for our freedom, and we thank you for our freedom in Christ. Lord, I just pray today that it would become a reality to us today, just like your word said, that we would set our minds, we would set our hearts on the reality of heaven and the reality of the mortality of this life and the short vapor-like life that we have here. How short it is and how fragile it is, but how great the eternal reward in Christ really is. Let that be a reality to us today as we go through this passage. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So as we get started on the message for today, I want us to ask ourselves a question. The question is this: do I desire to have a deeper, more committed walk with the Lord? All right, just take a second and really don't just, you know, it's not about me up here preaching. This is about coming today and hoping that God will draw us closer to him, maybe make us more like Christ. We want to walk out of here receiving something from his word that we didn't have from before. Maybe something from his spirit. Maybe some strength. So let's just take a little second and think about it. Do I really seek after a deeper commitment, a deeper walk with our Father in heaven, with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Do we really do it? Now, I believe, and I'm going to tell you that I believe that each of us here do. All right, and all of us are on different levels of our walk with the Lord. But just the fact that we're here today, just the fact that you came today, reveals to me at least that you at least have a desire to hear biblical teaching, whether it's the preaching of the word right now, or whether it's in the time of worship, whether it's in Sunday school, whatever it is, that you came today wanting something, wanting to be in the fellowship of other believers, wanting to hear biblical teaching, wanting to hear something that maybe would encourage you and help you out. So let's go through these four verses in Colossians chapter 3, and let's see the reminder that the Lord has for you individually today. What is it that God wants to remind you today? What is it that God wants to remind your pastor today? So look at verse 1. Look with me at verse 1, Colossians chapter 3. And we're just going to look at the first half of that first sentence there. It says this: since you have been raised to new life with Christ. All right, now listen. This is what it says, have been raised to new life with Christ. So before we go too far, let me explain a very important fact about the text and the topic that we're going to be discussing today. Jesus was already betrayed, he already was killed, and God already did raise him from the dead. We already talked about that. And right now, as we are here under these trees on this street corner of Route 6 and Route 15, right, Corbin? October 17th, 2021, Jesus is sitting right now on the throne at the right hand of God with all authority in heaven and on earth. And eventually, we're going to get to Matthew 28, where Jesus tells us that's what he's going to do. Right now, he is sitting at the right hand of God with all authority in heaven and on earth. And if you are a believer and a follower of Christ, these four verses this morning are directed directly to you. Not to the church. We're part of the church, but they are directed directly to you as a believer. Now, if you're not a believer this morning, maybe you've come to church. Maybe this is your first time of hearing about all this. Maybe you just have been fighting the Lord like I did for so long, and you haven't surrendered your life to Him. I believe that God will use these few verses today to help you understand what you're missing out on. That's my prayer today. Maybe make you want and hunger and thirst for what you can have and what is available to you in Christ. So, verse 1 is telling us that if I'm a believer, then I have been raised from the dead with Christ. So what does this really mean? What does it really mean to be raised from the dead with Christ? Well, Jesus, the only one who ever walked upon the earth with no sin, he walked his whole life, he lived to be in his 30s, and he never sinned, was crucified on the cross to pay the sin debt. I think about, like, you know, racking up a credit card. Anybody ever been guilty of doing that? I'll pay it off later. I know it's a high interest rate, but I'll pay it off later. Sin had run up this debt to a holy and a just God. A sin debt that you and me racked up on our shopping spree, if you will, of sin in our life and disobedience to God. And Jesus went and paid that debt once and for all with his perfect and sinless life. John 3:16. We read this so much, we look over it, but we don't even really listen to it. But listen to God's word this morning. It says, "For this is how God loved the world." This is the New Living Translation. This is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone, that's everybody here today, everyone who believes in him will not perish. That means you won't die, but you will have eternal or everlasting life. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says this. Talking about Jesus. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, you are healed. By his wounds, you are healed. You see, God loved his son with eternal, never-ending, perfect love. Everybody always likes to say God is love. That's scriptural, right? God is love, but he's also a just and a holy God, and he's a God of discipline. He's a God who cannot be in the presence of sin. Therefore, when a person believes and really surrenders their life to Christ, God forgives that person's sin and accepts them in Christ. Is that making sense this morning? I know this is the basics of our faith, but we need to be reminded this morning. They are no longer separated from God. I've been separated from God before. And it's not a good feeling. It's a lonely place. It's a place that leads you to just shame and guilt. It's a place that leads you to being separated from the church and other people and other believers. God actually identifies that person. When we put our faith in Christ, he identifies that person with Christ in his death and in his resurrection. That's what Paul is telling us. But see, God begins to consider that person having died to their old life and risen to their new life in Christ. This means the most wonderful thing for you and me. This meant the most wonderful thing for Paul. This meant the most wonderful thing for Peter. And this means the most wonderful thing for you and me. That the fact that a believer was raised to life and with Christ and in Christ means that we also have conquered death. Does anybody here want to die? I don't. That's one of the biggest things, other than public speaking, that people fear, is their death. We don't want to die. We want to protect our life. We want to be here. We want to live. A believer that is raised to life with Christ means that we have also conquered death. That we are a new creation. The old life and their sin and all the things that we used to think about and do, it no longer has a claim on us. It no longer owns us. We're still going to battle with it. But see, it also means that we have to be walking in that newness of life. And that's what Paul's trying to tell us. You're not the way you used to be, Anthony. You've been raised with Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says this. This is also Paul writing this. He says, "Once you were dead because of your disobedience and many sins." I would encourage you to go read chapter 2 of Ephesians today. Because he goes on to say this in verse 6, and I'm not going to read all that. We're not going to focus on it. But right in verse 6, he says, "For he raised us from the dead, along with Christ, and seated us with him in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ." So before we go any further in this passage, are you united with Christ this morning? That's the question. We have to understand that a believer's life is a life that has been raised with Christ. So let's look back at the last part of verse 1. So go back to verse 1 and let's finish this verse, and we'll go all the way into verse 2. It says, "Set your sights. Set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits." Right now he's sitting there. "Where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth." You see, here we see Paul reminding us again that a believer, what we should be focusing on, what we should be seeking after, are things that are above, things that are eternal. He's reminding us what Jesus has already told us. We talked about it when we went through Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. He says, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need." So how do we live righteously? How do we actually stay focused on the kingdom of God? All right, it's okay to read that and say, "I need to seek the kingdom of God," but how do we really do that? Well, I believe Paul tells us right here in verse 1 and 2. He tells us right here. Number one is this. He says, "Set your sights." Now, I love to shoot. I love guns, and I love going, and I love target practicing. I love shooting deer, and I know some of y'all are going to throw something at me. They're so tasty. But I love taking my gun and knowing that I've got the sight set right. And knowing when I shoot and it hits where I need. He's telling us right there. He says, "Set your sights on heaven." Don't just go spraying bullets all over. He's saying, "Set your sights directly on me." The NIV says, "Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God." Number two, he tells us, "Think about the things of heaven." Set your minds on the things of heaven. So we are to set our sights, set our mind, we're to think about, we're to look towards, and we're to really focus on the things of heaven, not the things of earth. Very simply, the things of Christ and the things of heaven, the eternal nature of God, should consume a believer's heart and mind to where there is no place for the worldliness. Does that make sense this morning? Now you might say, "No, you're getting a little too extreme, Pastor. Not all of us are called to be preachers or missionaries or whatever, but we are all called to be believers and be devoted and surrender our life to Christ." And Paul tells us that, and God is telling us that we are to set our hearts and set our minds. But how do I do this, preacher? But how do I set my sights? How do I set my heart on things of heaven? You can preach about it all day long, but I've tried it and it's so hard. Well, I'm going to give you a few things this morning from my great wisdom. Oh, that's sarcasm. But I'm going to give you a few things that I am learning, that I have learned, and that I am learning, that will help you set your sights, set your hearts, and set your minds on heaven where Jesus is right now. All right? Now, I know this is going to blow your mind, but what I'm telling you this morning, the first thing is this. Turn off your TV. Take your cell phone and cut it off. All right? People are walking away back there. Don't leave. No, I'm just kidding. Turn off your TV. Turn off CNN. Turn off Fox News. Turn off the sports channel. I'm really losing you now. Put down your phone. Get off of Facebook. Nobody cares. It ain't really what they look like anyways because they use a filter. Their life isn't perfect. And pick up your Bible. Put those two things down this week and pick up your Bible. All right? That's not enough. Amen. Open it. I'm giving you instructions here. I told you, I'm a really wise man. Open your Bible. All right? That's not enough. The next step is what you do is you start reading the truth in the Bible. I don't care where you start. It's all inspired by God. Start reading the part. Well, I don't understand all the Bible. It doesn't make sense. Well, go to the part you do understand and read it. All right, doesn't stop there. Step number whatever we're on is this. Do what the Bible says to do. So when you put the Bible down and you're done reading, you say, "Boy, that was great. Then what you do is you walk out of your house and you get up off your couch or wherever you were, and you go do what the scripture tells you to do. And you set at least once a day, time alone with the God in prayer. All right. So if you do those simple steps right there, what you're going to do is you're going to start seeking after God more and more, because you're hearing the truth. You're not wrapped up in all this worldly mess, and you're reading things about heaven, and you're trying to do. You're not going to be perfect. Nobody's perfect. But you're going to try to be a doer of the word, like James talks about. You're going to get alone with God and say, God, what is my purpose? What do you want me to do? Speak to my heart. What can I do for you today? And learn to whisper prayers all day. Learn to whisper prayers all day. Malcolm, I think, calls them bullet prayers. You just walk along all day long. You should be praying and communicating and focusing with God and say, you know, God, thank you for those beautiful clouds up there today. Oh, Lord, your sky really does display your craftsmanship. Lord, thank you for my children today. Lord, thank you for my wife. Thank you for my church family today. God, thank you for my job today. Thank you, Lord, for that person that paid for my meal today. Right, Ty? We experienced that this week. We went to breakfast and somebody that was anonymous just paid for our meal. Learn to whisper those prayers all day. And this is where we really struggle, is surrendering. So a lot of times we sing that song, you know, we surrender our life to you and for what I believe in and all that stuff. But it's not a one-time thing. We surrender to Christ daily. Every minute, every hour, we have to go back to surrendering again. Surrendering over and over all day. So there's some steps. Turn off your TV, put down your phone, pick up your Bible, read your Bible, do what the Bible says. Begin to memorize Scripture. That's a good one. That's one I left out. I don't care if it's one little sentence. Memorize it and quote it over and over in your mind. Speak it into existence. Speak it into your life. This is how we set our sights and our minds on heaven. God did not give us this inspired word to be something that looks good on our coffee table. Okay, he gave it to us to be worn out and tethered, because we go to it all often and so often that it's worn out and we got to go on Amazon and order another one. Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 5 and 6 says this: those who are dominated by their sinful nature think about sinful things. So if we're watching the worldly stuff, if we're focusing on worldly stuff, we're going to be dominated by that sinful nature. He goes on to say this: but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about the things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind, there's talking about your mind again, leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. I'm going to give you another one simple step here that I have learned to do. When I'm tempted to sin, when I'm tempted to dwell on something I shouldn't dwell on, when I'm tempted to do something I know I shouldn't do, whatever it is, it could be big or small, I have learned to do this right here and just say, Jesus. Jesus. You know what that does in that moment? It sets my mind. It sets my mind back in the heavenlies. It sets my mind on the fact that Jesus is sitting on the throne right now, and one day he's coming back. Just say that word. Just say that name, Jesus. And watch the devil run away. Watch your mind refocus. Look with me at verse 3. This is how we set our hearts and our minds on heavenly things. It's how I do it anyways when I succeed and I try to. Look at verse 3. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. So here's Paul giving us two more reminders of why we should seek things of the heaven. More reminders for us because we need it. Number one is this. The reminder is we are dead to this life if we are a Christian. So what does this really mean when he says that we're dead to this life? You see, just like Christ died to this life here on earth, just like his, when he was fully God, fully man, but when he hung on the cross and he breathed his last and he gave up his spirit on the cross, he died to this life on earth. So are we dead when we become Christian. Now, of course, this is not speaking of physical death. But once we become a new creation in Christ Jesus, God counts us dead and in with the death of Christ. He sees us. We're covered in the death of Christ. This means that the moment that I call upon the name of Jesus to be my Lord and Savior and for forgiveness of my sins, And I confess, God, I've sinned against you. I've rebelled. I'm tired of being separated from you, Lord. I put my faith today. I believe that Jesus Christ died for me. And you raised him from the grave. And he's seated at your right hand right now with all authority and all. Lord, please forgive me in the name of Jesus of my sins. We become a child of the eternal God in that moment. Right there. Let me do it in the mic. In that moment, I believe God accepts us as a child of God. Why do I believe that? John chapter 1 verse 12 says this: but to all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. You see, to be dead in this life means that we no longer seek after the things of this world. That's why we, when we get baptized, that's the importance of baptism. It symbolizes that inward decision we made on the outside, that the old is gone. The old is getting buried with Christ. And the new is being raised up out of the water, clean, not by anything we did, but by the grace of God, by the blood of Christ. We don't live for worldly treasure anymore. It doesn't mean we can't have it. It doesn't mean you can't have nice things. It doesn't mean you can't have fun in this life. It doesn't mean that you can't enjoy. It doesn't mean that I shouldn't say, man, I'm going to go buy me a new truck, Jenny. Just kidding. But we don't live for worldly. We don't live for worldly treasures. We don't live for worldly praise. It doesn't mean that we can't enjoy somebody saying, man, you know, Anthony, I was encouraged by that today. Or Budgie, I was encouraged by what you did. It doesn't mean that we can't receive encouraging words. But we don't live and we don't thrive off of worldly praise. We don't live for worldly rewards, because we realize how temporary they are. We don't live for worldly pleasure, our sinful pleasure that our sinful nature wants us to run after. And the devil tells us that it will satisfy our needs and our desires and our wants, but it really just leaves us more feeling like we're living a life of death. We live for our Heavenly Father, to get to know him, to understand our calling in this life. And we live preparing for eternity, living a life that is pleasing to God. When we're tempted to live for the things of the world, we go back to that reminder we just talked about. And we set our hearts, we set our sights, and we set our minds on the heavenlies and the heavenly things. Just say the name of Jesus, like we talked about. And when we do fall into sin, we're going to. I still disobey God all the time. I'm not proud of it, but it's the truth. Paul talked about it in Romans. He talked about how he battles with sin, and he just does the things that he hates, and he doesn't know why he does it, but he's still controlled so often by that sinful nature. But guess what? There's a key to that. When we do fall into that sin, God knows we're going to do it. That's why he covered it for us for once and for all. We are quick. We don't wait 2 or 3 days or 2 or 3 months. The moment we realize, man, we disobeyed God and I sinned against the Lord. What do? We take it and we go right back to the cross and we repent and we turn back to God and we ask for his strength to overcome it the next time. And God is faithful, faithful to forgive us. Set your hearts and your minds on the real, on our real life, not our old life. That's what Paul was telling us. The second thing that Paul reminds us in these three verses is this. In verse 3 is this. You are actually hidden in Christ. What does that mean? So what does it really mean to be hidden in Christ? I had to read about it this week, and I've really never really thought about it. But I believe it means that God counts the believer hidden in the resurrection of Christ. When Christ arose from the grave, he arose to a brand new life. He was no longer the old him. He was a new person, a new creation, the new life. And when we become a believer, we also arise into this new life. We let the old go. The old is dead and the new has been born. And when we become a believer, we also arise brand new in life. And see, when God sees us, he no longer sees the old Anthony Clore. He sees the new Anthony Clore in Christ. Here's a simple illustration I want to give you this morning. Everybody take your thumb. I would say your finger, but I'm scared what finger some of y'all might stick up this morning. Give me a thumbs up this morning. Everybody got their thumbs up? Stick it up in the air. Be proud of it. All right, your thumb represents you before Christ. Your sinful nature, the way that you used to be. All right? And you're walking through life and you accept Christ and you come to that place in your life where you say, I'm not satisfied. I know that there's got to be more to life, and I'm tired of living shackled up in my shame and my guilt and all those things, and I've tried to do it on my own. I've tried to fix myself. Some of y'all are getting tired. Brace it. Hold it up. And then you hear about Jesus, and it becomes a reality to you. And you say, you know what? Lord, I need you. God, I want you to come in. Lord, I believe in Jesus Christ. And you call the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sin. And this is what happens. Take your other hand and put your palm right in there like you're putting your thumbprint in your, and then wrap it up and cover up your thumb. Your thumb's still there. It's still there, but it's hidden. It's hidden in Christ. And so when God looks at you, when God looks at me, when you're a believer, so often we think he's still looking at our old sinful nature. But the fact is, what Paul is telling us, he doesn't see you. He knows you're there, but he sees Christ. When he sees a believer, he sees Christ. You're hidden in Christ. You see, when God looks at you, once you accept Jesus, he sees you hidden in Christ. I know that may sound simple, but to me it made sense. Paul reminds us today that we are dead to this life and we are hidden in Christ Jesus. So I would encourage you today, before we read the last verse and we start to close, I would encourage you with this. This week, when the old devil, this afternoon, maybe right now, before we even finish preaching the sermon, that you would take your thumb and you'd put it in there and you'd remember, I'm hidden in Christ. We have to be reminded over and over. And I'm a simple learner. I'm a visual guy. I gotta see how it works. I don't like to read the instructions. I want to see the picture. I'm hidden in Christ. Look at verse 4 with me as we close. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in his glory. Here we see, to me, one of the sweetest reminders that we could ever hear. But this reminder is that of a great reward of being hidden in Christ. The reward that we have. He's reminding us there's a reward for this. An eternal reward, a great reward for seeking the things of Christ, for setting your heart and your mind on things of heaven. And this reward is getting to appear with Christ in his glory. Could we really ask for anything more than that? You see, since God sees us as hidden in Christ, we are risen with Christ. You see, Jesus in his presence, he's standing in the presence of God right now. And he's standing in their presence this morning. Jesus is in the presence of God as we speak. This means that we are accepted by God to be in his holy presence the moment that we surrender our life to Christ. Did you know this morning you have the opportunity to be accepted into the holy presence of God this morning? To become a child of God right here today this morning. All because, not because of what you have done, but because of what Christ has done. And you are hidden in Christ. And I believe that with every ounce of my faith, when the time comes for a believer's life to be over, in that moment, in that last moment of life here on earth, right before I leave this world, God will fix my mind upon Jesus and immediately take me into the kingdom of heaven. That's what I believe. I believe that God will keep me so fixated, my mind will be so focused in that moment on Christ and in the heavenly things that you may even see into heaven and may even get a glimpse. That's what I believe. That's my personal conviction. That we never even taste or experience the sting of death. 2 Timothy 4:18 says this. Yes, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil attack and will bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. All glory to God forever and ever. Amen. You see, we need to be reminded this morning, church. Just like the disciples in Matthew 17, verse 22 and 23 needed to be reminded of what was going to happen, we need to be reminded of what already did happen. Just like they needed to fix their eyes on God's eternal plan, so do we, because just like the disciples, we're weak and we easily forget God's promises and the rewards that he has for us. So before we sing, what do you need to be reminded of today? What reminder do you need today? Do you need to be reminded that you've already been raised to a new life with Christ? Do you need to be reminded to set your heart and your mind on the heavenlies? Do you need to be reminded this morning that Jesus is alive right now as we speak with all authority seated at the right hand of God? Do you need to be reminded that you are supposed to be dead to this life? The devil has no claim on you if you're a believer. Your past has no claim on you. It's covered by the blood of Christ. Do you need to be reminded that your real life, the real you, is hidden in Christ? Or do you need to be reminded that the day of Christ's return is coming? Maybe to get your attention and remind you that this world is just temporary. Or maybe you need to be reminded that you have a heavenly reward waiting for you, to keep fighting that good fight. Or maybe you need to be reminded today that God wants you in His kingdom, that God wants you to be a child of God, that God wants you to accept that free gift of salvation today. See, the funny thing about a gift is, I can give a gift all day. I can try to give one of you a gift all day long, but until you reach out and you accept it, you can't enjoy it. And you'll never know really how sweet it is and how great it is until you accept the gift. I don't know what you need to be reminded of today. I know there's many things I need to be reminded while I was studying this, even while I was preaching it, things that God was reminding me about His eternal and great nature that He is and how awesome He is. But whatever God is laying on your heart, if you need prayer, I'd be glad to pray. The prayer team, I'm asking, they'll come on up. The prayer team's going to be up here. I don't even care. If you don't even know what you need to pray about, if God is calling you to come and pray, don't quench the Holy Spirit. Because that's why we came, to grow closer and to seek that deeper commitment and relationship with the Lord. That's why we really came here today. It all starts right where we started. We know we need that reminder. We know we need the reminder from the truth. Because all throughout the week, the devil's clogged up our mind. Our focus has changed. If God is calling today, come as we sing.
Hello, my name is Anthony Clore, and I'm honored to be the pastor here at Fork Union Baptist Church. I hope you were blessed by the message today, and I want to encourage you with this. God is always willing and always waiting, and always wants to do great things in our lives when we simply read the Bible and hear biblical preaching and teaching. But we must allow what we hear to be applied to our lives. So if you feel God tugging at your heart or speaking to you today, I want to encourage you to stop whatever you're doing right now and respond to Him personally. And if you would like to let us know what God is doing in your life through this podcast ministry, we would be so blessed if you would reach out to us by email at churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. Again, that's churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. You can also try us at our office at 434-842-3390. Again, thank you for listening, and we hope that someday you will join us in person. We meet each Sunday at 11 a.m. Take care, and God bless.